The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Gospel of Grace podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. We would love to have you worship with us in person sometime. The church address is 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. As we continue to deal with the last-minute attacks of the enemies of the kingdom of God, we come to another weapon in Satan's arsenal, slander. Sanballat and his henchmen began to spread lies about Nehemiah and the Jews, and even wrote an open letter to the king and others that accused them of rebellion. Slander is indeed a very effective tool that's often used against God's people. Join us today as we begin to look at what slander is and how to deal with it.
I died
so bad. For time. the book of Nehemiah, the sixth chapter, we've been dwelling on the external opposition that we find to the work of the kingdom of God. Now, we had already been looking at internal opposition, discouragement, selfishness, that kind of opposition will creep in and will cause us all kinds of problems. But there's also external opposition from enemies of the kingdom of God. And we have to remember both types of opposition are present in every circumstance, wherever we go. You know, you'll laugh when I say this because my wife knows I do like to have a bunch of spinning tops going at the same time, you know. But really and truly, I like to focus on one thing if I can. I just like to keep, okay, here's my problem. This is what I need to deal with. But it's never just one thing. It's always an attack from every quarter. You know, when the children of Israel were coming out or passing through the wilderness, headed to the promised land, there was a time when they came head on against opposition and they had to fight pitched battles. But there was also a time when the opposition would attack them on their flanks and they would hit them where they're the weakest. And that's what tends to happen to us as well as children of God. You know, the devil is a much better warrior than you and I are, and he's smarter than you and I. Don't you ever try to do solo combat with the devil. Don't you ever do it, child of God, because you will lose every time. You need to, when you go into battle with the devil, you better have the armor of God on, just like he's told us in Ephesians 6, and you better have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Do you know that's the same sword that Jesus had when he did battle with the devil? When the devil came to tempt him, he didn't make up new scripture, although he could have. He was the living word. He said, "It is written, as it is written, it is written." He continued to quote scripture to him. And beloved, that's the thing, that's the one thing that the devil cannot refute. He can come in and say, "Yea, hath God said," and he can come in and try to tell you things that are half truths. But if you're well schooled in the Word of God, if Eve had known what God really said there in the garden, she wouldn't have been fooled by the devil. You know, Eve, you remember what she said? She said, "Oh, God said we can't eat of this and we can't touch it because it'll kill us." Well, okay, is that what God said? What I read that God said was you don't eat it, okay? You say, "Well, preacher, surely you shouldn't touch it if you shouldn't eat it." Well, you shouldn't touch it, but don't change the Word of God. Don't tell them that if you touch it, you'll die, because the problem with that is if you're told when you touch it, you die, or when you eat it, you die, but then you touch it and you don't die, then you're going to question whether when you eat it, you'll die, you see. You know, I use this often. People say, you know, things like drugs and alcohol, okay? You know, I've heard of parents telling their children, "Don't you take a drink, it'll kill you," or don't you smoke a joint, it'll kill you. Well, the problem with that is it won't. Most of the time it won't, okay? And so when it doesn't kill you, and then you keep going on down that road, and the next thing you know, you do end up in the ditch or dead or in the pig pen at the very least, it's because you weren't being told the truth to start with. You say, "Well, that didn't hurt me. A little more won't help." And by the way, that's the lie the devil will tell you. You know, just a little more won't hurt. Just a little bit won't hurt. I need to preach on that sometime. Just a little bit won't hurt. You know, I heard the story one time about the man who was loading up wood for his on the cart being pulled by his ox. And he took the approach. He said, well, he put a piece of wood on the cart. And he said, "Well, if he can pull that one, he can pull this one." And he kept, every time, "If he can pull that one, he can pull this one. If he can pull that one, he can pull this." Pretty soon he'd loaded the cart so heavy the ox couldn't pull it. You know, a little more, sometimes a little bit will hurt. Of course, then the rest of that story is he started taking it off. He said, "Well, if he can't pull this one, he can't pull that one." Next thing you know, he'd unloaded the whole cart and went home empty. But anyway, enough foolishness for tonight. But just understand that when we go to do battle with the devil, we better be prepared with the sword of the Spirit. Okay. We said this also. If you go with me to chapter 6 just for a moment here, and then we're going to skip some verses, but I want to start out here in verse 1. Remember where we are. "Now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall, and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates." Okay, now here's where we are. We're at the finish line. We're right at the finish line. I think I said this last time. Go Google or get on YouTube and look up videos of dropping the ball before the goal line. And you'll see many, dozens, if not hundreds of those where some pro football player intercepts a pass and runs all the way down to the 1 yard line of the opponent and then just drops the ball thinking he'd cross the goal line. Don't drop the ball before you cross the finish line. The finish line is in view, and I'll tell you, that's often when the devil mounts his hardest and worst attacks, okay? And here, while the finish line was in view, he was almost done, Satan and his minions, the enemies of God, began to attack again, and there were four strategies that they used to attack them at the end of the work. First was compromise. We saw that last time. He sent word in verses 2 through 4, come and let's meet together. And they wanted to meet, remember, in a village in the plain of Ono. And again, I got to say again, just like I said last time, I believe the Lord has a sense of humor, because the right answer that Nehemiah gave to them when they said, let's go meet in the plain of Ono, he said, oh no, oh no, not us. We're not meeting there, okay? But then in verse 5, we're going to begin reading tonight, because compromise was the first attack. But in the second attack here is slander. Slander. Now let's begin reading in verse 5. Then sent Sanballat his servant unto me in like manner the fifth time with an open letter in his hand, wherein was written, it is reported among the heathen, and Gashmu saith it, that thou and the Jews think to rebel, for which cause thou buildest the wall, that thou mayest be their king according to these words, and thou hast also appointed prophets to preach of thee at Jerusalem, saying, there is a king in Judah, and now shall it be reported to the king according to these words. Come now, therefore, and let us take counsel together. Now look at this attack here. This is a slander that he is raising against the people of God. He says, it is reported, verse 6, among the heathen, and Gashmu saith it. Now, we're going to come back here in a minute, but that's a very effective approach to slander. You know, a lot of you ever notice how it's always somebody says or somebody said or, well, I heard, you know, who was it you heard it from? There was an elected official in this circuit that I won't name one time, but was notorious for repeating things as if they were his own, okay? And so, if I ever, and I'm not saying I did this, but if I ever wanted to start something, you know, some kind of rumor, and I always wanted to test this out, but I never did do it, I could go to this person and say, hey, you know, they're saying that thus and such is happening, you know, or I could even go to them. Sometimes I've done this, so-and-so said that this is happening. Well, the next time, a couple of weeks later, I'd see this person, they'd say, listen, everybody's saying thus and such is happening. Now, that's the kind of repeating, you know, slander that, and it was not slanderous, by the way, what I was saying. I did want to test it out, but I never did do that. But notice what's happening here. They're raising libelous accusations, slanderous accusations. By the way, it's not for Scripture's purposes, but me as a lawyer, thinking about it from terms of what I know about the legal field, in our legal field, in the law in Alabama, for example, slander is spoken lies about somebody, and libel is written slander. It's written, when you write it down, it's libel. When you speak it, it's slander, okay? So if I may use both terms interchangeably, but notice here what they've done. In Alabama, it would be libel. They have written a letter and sent it around. Now let's talk for a minute about what slander is. What slander is. The word slander, slanderer, it's translated in Scripture often as whisperer or talebearer. Okay, if you see somebody, you see in the book of Proverbs particularly, it talks about a talebearer or a whisperer. It's talking about someone who is carrying forth lies about somebody or maybe just half-truths. Sometimes it's not all completely wrong. You know, a half-truth can be worse than a lie. We already talked about what the devil did. Yea, hath God said, he said, in the day you eat thereof, you'll not surely die. He said, for God doth know that in the day you eat, you'll become as gods, knowing good from evil. That was half true. That was half true. They would be like God in the sense that they would know good from evil. But what he didn't tell them was that they would lose the ability to do the good, and they would no longer be able to serve God. They would only be able to do evil. They would fall. They would, and Adam has plunged all of us into the death of sin that we have to be rescued from through the sacrifice of Christ. So here we have whisperers or talebearers. Now, the word in Hebrew there is the word nirgon. And that word means, of course, a slanderer, talebearer, whisperer. But listen to this. It comes from an unused root word that's never really used. But that root word means to roll to pieces. To roll to pieces. It's like you take a rock. You ever had a like a wad of gravel. Brother Glendon knows what I'm talking about. And you get a big old wad of gravel and you start rolling it around, and piece falls off here, the piece falls off there, and eventually you wear it down to nothing. And that's what a slanderer does. He doesn't come on, you can take a hammer on that rock and you can take it and just bust it head on, right? But that's not what a slanderer does. He doesn't come at you head on. He will start rolling you around this way and rolling your name around that way and your reputation over here, and the next thing you know, it just kind of falls to pieces. That's his goal, and that's what he does. And that's used today, beloved, against children of God. Do you know it can even be used against a church? Hey, we're Primitive Baptists, right? Hadn't it been used against us? Now, sometimes we have so many self-inflicted wounds that we give plenty of ammunition to the enemy, right? But it can be used against us. Think about the reputation here in this part of the country of Primitive Baptists. Because in the 1920s and the 1930s, absolute predestination of all things doctrine came into this part of the country, and every single Primitive Baptist church in Pickens, Fayette, and Lamar County slipped into that error. And so all we knew, most of us that grew up in the independent Baptist churches, all we knew about Primitive Baptists was that they were absoluters. That's what we thought. I never heard of anything but an absoluter Primitive Baptist. Now, turns out that was just a minor piece of the Primitive Baptist. That was just a little part of the Primitive Baptist. But hey, it was our part, and we didn't know any better. And people in this part of the country still don't know any better sometimes. We sometimes have to overcome the slander of, oh, y'all believe that everything's predestinated. Y'all believe in that what is to be will be, even if it never happens, right? You heard that, right? So it can be raised against a person or a church or a group or a family, okay? So notice what they've done here. Notice this attack. Sanballat and his cronies threatened to tell everybody about the Jews. He sent an open letter, it says in verse 5. It says, he sent unto me, when Nehemiah wouldn't compromise, wouldn't say I'd meet with you, said, okay, if you're not going to meet with me, here's what I'm going to do. He said, the fifth time he sent with an open letter. That means a letter that wasn't under seal. It was a letter that was open for anybody to read. And it was, in fact, the purpose was that it was intended to be disseminated throughout the realm. And I'm sure they ultimately wanted the king to hear about it. They ultimately wanted it to get back to the king. And notice what it did. It accused Nehemiah of rebellion. It accused the Jews of sedition, that is treason. They were going to set up their own king, and that would have gotten the Persian king's attention now. That would have gotten his attention, okay? Because kings don't like to have co-rulers. They don't like to have co-kings, right? They want to be the king, and especially the king of the Persians. He was the king. He thought he had all power. He would have no resistance. He would have no rebellion from his subjects, okay? And as a matter of fact, that's the same charge. If you go back and read Ezra chapter 4, that's the same charge that got the temple work stopped for about a 15-year period. They said, you're over here fomenting rebellion, and you're trying to cause problems for the king. If we let them finish this temple, the next thing you know, they'll be building a wall. And sure enough, that's what they're doing, right? But the point is that they were trying to slander him. They were trying to send this around, okay? And they did it in a very effective way. Verse 6, as I've said already, it is reported among the heathen, and Gashmu said it. I think that they say, or I've heard, or it's reported, it's been said, is probably the most effective way of stirring up trouble in any organization, especially churches. Now, let me stop here and say this. I myself, being in the secular field that I'm in, the field of politics, I'm particularly sensitive to this kind of thing, especially in the day in which we live where there's social media. Now, there's one thing, it's one thing to write an open letter that if somebody's got to carry somewhere to somebody else and read it and they've got to share it. But in now, the day in which we live now, all you got to do is post one post on Facebook and 10,000 people will share it. And the next thing you know, your name is run down into the dirt, right? Now, I say I'm sensitive to it. I don't, you know, as being in politics, you don't want a bunch of negative posts out there about you. In fact, when I ran the first time, there were two or three people that weren't happy with some things I'd done when I was district attorney. They began to make posts and, you know, they would post things on my page and all that. I ended up just deleting them, you know, but it caused me some angst. It caused me to worry about those kinds of things. And so I say that to say this, particularly for you younger folks, okay? I got over it, okay? It bothered me, but it was primarily because I was afraid I might lose votes about that, some of the lies that were being told. And so, you know, it didn't really bother me too much because I knew my friends would know that these things weren't true, that I had not messed this case up and I had not done something wrong in the other case and that sort of thing. But even so, it caused me some issues emotionally, you know, inside. It wounded me, if you will. And by the way, we're going to see that that's one thing a talebearer does. It will wound you. Talebearing will wound you. But you young folks, my heart goes out to you because I've seen so many situations where, you know, there was bullying when I was growing up, when I was in school. There was a couple of times I can point to where I feel like I was bullied in a particular grade. And as I got older, you know, I wasn't in the in crowd, you know. I was kind of on the outside. But I could go home and get away from all that. But now you can't go home and get away from all that because when you go home, all you got to do is pop up Facebook or Instagram or TikTok or whatever you got out there, you know, and then you see it once again, you can't get away from it. My heart goes out to you. And I say this also by way of warning to anybody out there who might, and we're going to talk about that in a minute too, who might want to repeat that kind of thing or share that kind of thing. Don't do that because you never know how much it may hurt somebody. But I also want to tell you this, if you're the one being hurt, just understand that is nothing but a bunch of dots and dashes and ones and zeros on a non-existent internet out there. And you understand that you need to just deal with that the way Nehemiah is going to deal with it. And I hope to give you this, I hope to give you a few tips on that as we go through and conclude tonight. So, all right, let's go back. Notice what they did. They said, it's reported. I want to tell you, beloved, anonymous reporters cause more chaos than any other type of reporter. And that's, again, the problem with Facebook and social media is you can just post. You don't have to face anybody. You can just put it out there. And the next thing you know, it's shared and you never have to deal with the consequences of it. They personally attack Nehemiah's motives. Notice what they're saying here. You want to make yourself king. It said, in verse 6, it says, for which cause thou buildest the wall? You're building the wall that you may be the king here in Jerusalem. And you've appointed prophets to preach about you. You're not just really, you know, this would have been something that the Persian king would have been very sensitive to because he was regarded as a god. And now you got Nehemiah, who they're saying wants to be not just king, but also divine, you see. And that's the only reason you're helping out over here in Jerusalem, Nehemiah, is because you want to set yourself up as king. Think about where Nehemiah came from, too. You know, there's a little bit of basis for this, right? Because he was the king's cupbearer. He was right up there next to the king. He knew all about royalty. And so they're using something that they could give them a little credence, you see, a little credibility there.
We're going to pause the message here for now. We want you to join us again tomorrow, where we will hear the conclusion to this sermon. In the meantime, if you have any questions or would like to contact us, please go to the website at zionpbc.com, where you can subscribe and get email updates every time a new sermon or any announcements are posted. Also, you can contact me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter J, chrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast, and may the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.